You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 11, 2023, and is titled The Root. Grab your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 11, and let's join Steve and the message.
You want to talk about end times prophecy? I'm giving it to you right now. To provoke the Jewish people to jealousy, that they would come to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. And he says, "For I speak to you as Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them." Talking about the Jewish people. "For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" If we as Gentiles have had it so good up till now, how much more when the nation of Israel comes to a renewed covenant with the God of all creation, the same as us? Do you know in the first printings of the Bible, they engaged a lot of Jews in America for the printing of the Bible because they gave so much attention to detail. They believed in the perfection of grammatical things, spelling, accuracy. Man, how many of y'all think we could use a sure enough Bible born again believing Jewish helper around here? Just to understand some stuff. You know, we talk about the feast and all them things, not so we can just do Jewish stuff. I want to understand. I want to understand my connection. I want to know my family tree. I'd like to know a little bit about some of this. I talk all the time about what our founders and forefathers did for the freedom of this country, this great place where we live. What have the Jews done for us as Christians? They've been through a lot. In the last 4 or 5 days, families have suffered things that you and me can't stand to think about. It's more than you can even think about. Because they're Jews. That's it. Because they're Jews, they get to do this. Because of what they've done, we get to be children of God. He said, "For if they're being cast away as reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be? Life from the dead. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them." He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the Jewish people. Those who were cut off from God, cut off the vine, cut off the root, cut off the trunk. Because of disbelief, because of unfaithfulness, all these different things, even when they didn't know what they were doing, trying to tell some of them about Jesus is like trying to explain the color red to a blind guy. And they were cut off from God. And God said, "But you wild olive branches, you people that don't have a heritage, you people don't have squat, you guys are just like a bunch of mesquite trees. Can't do anything with you and can't get rid of you either. I'm going to graft you right in their place." And he said, "And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree." Enjoying the same benefits of God as the Jewish people. He says right here, "Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you." Do you know how this goes? if the nation of Israel is eradicated off this earth before they've come to their salvation? How do you think this plays out? I don't think there's five people on the planet that stop to think about it. But when you sit here and you read this over and over and you realize how important the Jewish people are to our Christian faith, you realize how important they are to the kingdom of God. You realize how important they are to everything that happens from here on out. When you realize the importance, and now all of a sudden tragedy has come to the Jewish people to get the ears of the Christian community. How many of you in the last few days, God's got your ear in the same way he did at 9/11? He said right here, the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Do not be haughty, but fear. Do you know what our biggest failure is in America? We're haughty. And who it comes to Jews, we're really haughty. We should fear. Whatever happens to them should cause us to fear. Fear what God's thinking. Fear what God's going to do. And fear what the enemies of God are going to do. I'm not talking about being afraid and running into a hole, but being afraid of a train keeps you from laying on the train tracks. Fear can bring a little wisdom every now and then. He said, don't be haughty, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. This is why now for over a decade you've heard me talk about the benefits and the demise of bad teaching. People who believe they're saved, people believe that the preacher will be able to put them in heaven when they put them in a casket. No fear of losing their salvation, no fear of the absence of God. And yet right here he says, you should fear, because if he cut off the natural branches, you run the same risk. By unbelief and disobedience. He said, for God did not spare, that he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness. Murph, how many songs you sing about the goodness of God? Quite a few. There's a lot of songs about the goodness of God. How many songs you sing about the severity of God? It's pretty hard to get your praise on, ain't it? He said, consider the goodness and the severity of God. He is both. He extends grace and mercy, and he bears the arm of wrath. That's him. He's not the master puppeteer, and he's not Santa Claus. He's a king, and he rules. He owns the whole cotton-picking thing. And he said, on those who fail, severity, but towards you, goodness. What's he saying right there? Because of the mistakes that Israel made, God's goodness was shown to you. And if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also be cut off. And they also, if they continue in unbelief, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. That's the best news of the day. If I come unhooked, I can rehook. But the best news of this scripture, according to end times prophecy, is that if we'll stay hooked in our position and do what God leads us to do, the Jews may come to true salvation. I want to ask you a question today. There's been men preaching about this now for 2,000 years. Paul wrote this book right here darn near 2,000 years ago. What if in our time, what if this situation right here was going to blow the lid completely off the kettle? What if this was our hour to rise? What if the movement wasn't about Donald J. Trump? What if the movement's not about the President of the United States? What if the movement in America truly is about our brothers and sisters in Israel? What if the movement truly is about the glory of God? What if God's people truly rise up to the salvation of the Jews in this lifetime? I'm telling you today, glory, hallelujah. I thank God that I'm here. I want to be in on this. I've learned it. I've taught it. I've preached it for 27 solid years. I am ready for this day. Let's do this. Let's bring salvation to the Jewish people by exposing the reality of the Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. He has risen from the grave. He dwells among us today. He rules his people. He reigns in his kingdom. No enemy will come against him. He has forged a weapon for the destroying of things and to cause havoc, but his grace and mercy will stand forever. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had no idea I'd preach like that tonight. But it's so overwhelming. This is it. This is not about somebody taking four places of Scripture and creating some boogeyman. It's not about one of multiple periods that lasted 7 years and creating a disaster. And it's not about taking a word that's not in the Bible and the misunderstanding of catching up. It's what I was telling you earlier. Leave the book of Revelation alone until you've been caught up. Leave it alone because you're going to use somebody else's stuff every time. The Holy Ghost is the only one that knows what it means. He's the only one. The rest of them just trying to figure it out. The Holy Ghost knows. So until you've been caught up like Paul and John and turn that calling up into a false narrative about a lifting up of God's people and creating this rapture theology, and now in the midst of every time, now with the way of the world is, something disastrous happens every 12 minutes. And all you got to do is get on Facebook for a minute and somebody's over, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Listen, lady, did he call you on the phone or what? I might actually live to see the salvation of the Jews. That's huge. I got an idea. You want to restore your nation? Restore Israel. That just came from the Lord. Quit worrying about transgenders in your library. Everybody knows they're goofed up. Restore Israel and watch God restore America. That sounds like a plan. God's good at giving us a strategy, a plan. We were created for such a time as this. How awesome is this that I'm not dead yet? How awesome is this that somebody didn't whisk me out of here ahead of schedule? I want to see fullness come to God's earth. He said, how much more will be the fullness? I'll finish up right quick and get you out of here. Just there's so much. And he says right here, otherwise you'll also be cut off, and they also, if they do not continue. And then he says, therefore, if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, you were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Do you hear what he's saying? From the beginning, it's not been natural for you and I to be children of God. It's unnatural for us to be the children of God. We came out of the wrong family line. But Jesus bought us in to the line of Shem through his blood. He brought us into the promise by his blood. He didn't just save us for heaven. He brought us into the family. And so what was unnatural is now being made natural by adoption. When Jews get saved and come to a knowledge of Jesus, it's easy because they're just grafted into what they already were. It's you and I that have this internal struggle because it's just being a Christian is so unnatural, especially if you hang out in a sale barn. He says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." The pandemic is in America today is what we don't know. That's the pandemic. Ignorance. He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant about this." The responsibility of ignorance lies on these microphones. You're in charge of your work out your salvation. Study. Show yourself approved. But to inspire that, to empower that, to implore that to the people is those who said yes to God and assumed the position. That's why he said not many of you should assume yourself teachers, because the judgment on you is going to be so much more. Especially if you leave the people ignorant. Don't leave the people ignorant. And he said, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Oh God, isn't that what happens? That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. Not Sinai, Zion. He's talking about Jesus. And he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, talking about Israel. And for this is my commandment or covenant with them when I take away their sins. The Jews will be saved. What a glorious day to be part of the people who are here when that happens. How many of you grew up just believing someday they were going to be saved, but you'd never see it? You do realize the stage is set. This really could happen. Part of it's contingent on us doing our part. And he said, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. They're children. Yet they don't believe the gospel. They are beloved. And my God is long-suffering. My God is patient. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. And he has a plan for the reconciliation of the Jews, and the Gentiles are a key component in that plan. He said, concerning the gospel, and then for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I'm just about done. The gifts and the calling are irrevocable. How many of you have heard me talk about covenant contracts in this United States of America? 1606, 1607, Robert Hunt, 1620 with the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact. Different things have been covenanted with God. All these things that were done with Israel that he told them, he said, remind your children, remind your children, remind your children. Tell the generations, what have we failed to do in America? Nobody even knows who Robert Hunt is. Nobody even knows what the Mayflower Compact says. We forgot to tell our children. We forgot to tell our children. And so these things still stand. He said these things still stand. The calling on America still stands. We are a Christian nation. We're expected to be a Christian nation. When most of America doesn't act like a Christian, why would we still be a Christian nation? Because there's a remnant in this land. No matter what Israel does, I set away 7,000 of them that hadn't bowed their knee. He said, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may receive mercy. See, he's talking about us. The mercy shown to us. How many of you came to Jesus and was already perfect? How many of you deserve the wrath of God? How many of you received mercy? Because you received mercy, now the Jews will receive mercy. And he said, for God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy. Man, that breaks my heart. God committed them all to disobedience. God wouldn't do that. The Bible says it. He committed them all to disobedience so he could show mercy to them all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depths of the riches and knowledge of God. The wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways, past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has become his counselor? Let me tell you who. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You can possess the mind of Christ. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead has now brought life to your mortal bodies. Or who is first given to him? Was it Gentiles or Jews? And it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I hope somebody got something out of that, and I know it was a lot. But I didn't feel like doing a series, and I didn't find a good place to get off the bus. I encourage you, there's no way, if this is your first go-around of Romans 11, there's no way that you could swallow that whole lump at once. You're going to have to go home and chew. Go home and study your word. Meditate on the word and listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Meditate on your word and listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And watch what God shows you in that word. Watch what you see on your TV. Once you've realized the reality of Romans 11. Thank God for who you are in Christ Jesus while you watch the atrocities that happen all the way across that water. Give thanks to God for his mercy. Beg him for a willing spirit to sustain you. Beg him that you'll be a courageous people, that you'll not be a people of fear, that you're not a people waiting to be rescued out of this mess. Promise God, if you're going to pray for Israel, promise God that if this is your time, Jesus, let me be part of the fulfillment of prophecy. Let me be part of the salvation of the Jews. Play me, coach. I'm salty-tongued, I'm easily distracted, I get too fired up, all kinds of things, God. Sometimes I look haughty, sometimes I seem a little cocky, sometimes I just look a little downright mean. I'm sorry, God, for anything that displeases you, but I'm telling you today, take this jackass and speak. Do something with me to fulfill your prophetic word. You were created for such a time as this. Prepare yourselves. There's a group of people who have suffered for a long time for your salvation and mine. We're connected to them. There's an enemy that hates your guts. Know that too. Understand the goodness and the severity of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost on all occasions, for you know not how to pray. He'll give you utterance. That's all I got for tonight. Somebody asked me yesterday morning, because I laid it out pretty thick yesterday morning too at Bible study, He said, you going to be talking about the same thing tomorrow night? And I said, pretty much, I'll be on this from now till it's over. I ain't leaving. But I'm pretty sure it'll be different. It won't be the same thing because I didn't write it down. But no, we're going to be on this. Let me tell you today, there is nothing else to talk about. There is nothing else to talk about. God's full attention is on this situation in His created earth right now with the enemies of His people. And it deserves the attention of His people. So, that's all I got. Anybody got anything? I know some of you got to get out of here, and please do. But listen, tonight, don't leave here bewildered. Don't. If you got a question right now or anything, this is serious business. This time has never happened, and it will never happen again. Not like this. And you're here, and I'm here. So if you got something on your mind, let's do it, man. We're not here having church. We're just having a meeting. Anybody got anything? Murphy, got anything? Here, hold on.
In 1976, I walked into the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. You can't get in there anymore. And we walked in there, and there's this big old rock in the middle. And this guide says, this is where Abraham, we celebrate. This is where Abraham offered up Ishmael as a sacrifice. And we, that's what he said. He said, where he offered up Ishmael as a sacrifice. And we said, oh, wait a minute. It was Isaac. And he said, no, that's what the man's Bible, or the Gentile Bible says. He said, firstborn is who he offered up. So he said, where me and you start in that Abrahamic covenant. I never thought about that. That's what they believe, that Ishmael was the promised son. So that's what.
So that's why there's an Islamic mosque on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, and that's it. That's
it,
yeah,
right there at the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah, that's what it is. So.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I'm going to go with the Bible because the Word of God says that this promise will be reckoned through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, I'm going to go with that. Yeah. But if you're Middle Eastern and you believe that, these Abrahamic religions, this was one of the things just real quick about Donald J. Trump, and I'm not here to get him reelected. If I could, I would, but I'm not right at this moment. Just so you know it's coming. The first president of the United States to put his foot on the three meccas of Abrahamic religion. He put his foot on the Mecca of Iran. See, they believe in Father Abraham. He placed his foot in the Vatican. And he placed his foot at the Wailing Wall, the prayer wall in Jerusalem. That's huge. Never gets talked about in American church. That's huge. And so when we talk about these Abrahamic religions and some of the confusion, another thing that's pretty funny, the Bible was canonized in 400 AD, the same time that Muhammad began to put the Quran together. It all happened at the same time. The Quran talks about Jesus. Everybody in the Middle Eastern world acknowledges Jesus because he was here. They just don't all believe he was the Son of God. Have you ever noticed your Bible referencing Muhammad? You see, some things that are false will contain some truth, but when it's the whole truth, it contains nothing false. So, yes, sir. What? Oh, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction. Yeah, that challenges them, God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Yeah, I'm not very good at that. Not very good at it. And believe me, people, I'm doing my best, and I got a lot of help. Try to simmer me down just a little bit. Try to keep my tongue pointed in the right direction, not just wanting to club everybody that comes walking up. But I'll tell you something today, and I've explained this to a lot of men in the last 2 days. Your anger is not sin. It's an emotion. The Bible says don't sin in your anger. When we lose control, God's angry. Therefore, God's people should be angry. If you can watch some of this and not be angry, I don't know what's the matter with you. Sometimes when I get angry, I want to fight. Like, wake up looking forward to it. Just some days watching and just wishing that one of those guys would just show up in my presence where I could just take it out on him. I'm not telling you that's right. I'm just telling you that's how I am. I want God to use every nickel of that for his purposes. Don't let me get dulled down. Don't let me lose my passion. Don't take my anger from me from time to time, but let me be driven. Let me be on purpose for a purpose, and let me be fearless. Let me be fearless in what I do and the things to come. So I'm a mere ordinary man who hears God and wants to tell you people what God tells me. And that's it. But I'm going to tell you, now's the time. And I just tonight, I told Robin sitting there, God was just speaking to me, and I told her, I said, sweetie, there's an end time prophecy right here that doesn't fit any of that slipper they've been trying to put on Cinderella's foot now. And just the idea of this happening in my lifetime, if at all possible, sets me on fire. I mean, wow. So let's pray and get out of here. We've been here a long time. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for your revelation. Thank you for your patience. Lord, I pray. We just pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for this United States of America. We pray for the Jewish people to be enlightened to the reality of you, Jesus. We pray for their salvation. We pray that you'll use us in this endeavor. We pray, God, that we are usable by you. May all we do and say bring you glory to the benefit of your people and the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.